Up next, Out Loud with John O'Caldwell, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
America has lost its sense of humor and it needs to get it back. My guest today is someone who will make you think and make you laugh, sometimes at the same time. You probably know Catherine Tempt best from her work on Fox News. She was a Fox News contributor for years, first appearing on the Greg Gutfeld show Red Eye. Kat then became a regular guest on an assortment of other Fox programs before becoming co-host of the Fox News Specialist. In 2019, she became the host of her own show, Sincerely Kat, on Fox Nation. And if that isn't enough, Kat is also a comedian who has performed stand-up across the country. Let's go. Kat Tempt, thank you for coming on with me.
Of course.
Now, a lot of folks may know we've been friends for some years now, and I'm always grateful for your words of wisdom and certainly your comedy. You're very funny, and I think what's also interesting about the interview we're doing now for people is we actually recorded this previously while I was in Dubai.
And where you were gallivanting around Dubai, and I was in my office.
I was working the entire time. Trust me, it was a work trip. I'm not taking a vacation in years, like legitimately in years. But we recorded this, and the expectation was you were going to be my second or third interview because the election was coming up. And after the election, I thought we can quickly pivot to something that's kind of lighthearted and fun, and you would be the great guest for that. But certainly things continue to happen in the election and recount and lawsuit, and there's still things going on today, interestingly enough. So I'm just so intrigued. What do you make of all of this that's been going on in the election cycle?
Yeah, you know, it's almost as if this is not over anytime soon, right? Which is what I said back when we recorded that episode. That people were like, oh, can't wait till the beginning of November is over. I'm like, you fool. It is never over. Because people are so divided right now. And an election, they're not just going to say, oh, yeah, okay. And nobody trusts anybody, particularly not the media. Yeah. And it's easy to kind of understand why in some respects. For example, Biden goes on and on about how he wants to unite the country, right? But yet he won't even do something simple like acknowledging the fact, doesn't even have to give his opinion. He can hate Trump all he wants, but acknowledging the fact that Trump got a vaccine done within 9 months. But they're not acknowledging that. Or I'll see left-leaning media sources saying, well, you know, the government, the taxpayers didn't even pay for that vaccine. It's like, that's good. Like, that's good. It's this thing called working with private businesses that the rest of us have all been talking about. Yeah, people are so critical thinking of any kind is lost, I think, even on all around, right? Yeah. Both major parties, I would say, have some aspect of this for sure, because there's no room for it, because you're just going to blindly, rather than looking at the facts of something and saying, here's what I think, they're looking at the facts of something and saying, okay, how do I make these fit my preconceived narrative for my political party?
Yeah.
So you're like, this isn't logical. How is this going on? Well, it's because there's no logic involved.
Yeah. So you think honesty has been lost, clearly.
Yeah, nobody cares about facts right now. They just care about what they're, it's all partisan.
Yeah.
It's completely partisan. I have a close friend that I, like, we haven't spoken since election because it was falling apart, our relationship, because I was voting for Joe Jorgensen and not Joe Biden. And that made me a racist that I did not plan on voting on, you know, voting for the author of the 1994 crime bill / like co-sponsor of the crack and cocaine sentencing disparity, like Mr. Mandatory Minimums. Like, but again, where's the logic in there? There is none. There's just none.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. That's crazy. So that made you racist for not voting for Joe Biden. That's a new one, actually. That should be a tweet. It sounds rather insane. And you're right. I thought during the election cycle that Joe Biden was, in terms of a historical perspective and a policy perspective, would be the worst person to vote for. I'm talking about in terms of African-Americans, just from that policy perspective alone. Just that alone was just kind of a rude awakening for so many people. Now, do you know anybody that's excited about a Joe Biden presidency?
No. even when all of the, you know, the revelers were like drinking and doing drugs in the street, celebrated, they weren't saying, yeah, Biden. They were like, Trump sucks. Like they don't like him other than that he isn't Donald Trump. And again, that's because they're not thinking, except they're just saying, I know I hate Trump. This guy's not Trump. Therefore, I'm throwing all my energy into this. And it's just crazy with like everything that happened, and you think that people are starting, because we do have huge problems with our criminal justice system. And this is something that you and I have talked about many times. And so they put forward Joe Biden and a crooked cop on the ticket.
Yeah.
And I just,
Kamala Harris is what you're talking about. Kamala
Correct.
Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still people who are in prison who should not be there because of her time. She constantly fought, you know, against the accused who had many reasons to believe they were wrongfully accused. Any reasonable person to look at the evidence. I know you know all this. And she never took their side except for when there was public pressure. So
or courts got
her
involved.
Whole record. Right. Her whole record is about gaining and maintaining power.
Yeah.
So if something was not popular, that's fine. But like, she's like, oh, I don't want to admit I'm wrong. There's George Gage, many people still in prison.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing. Because I get people can change their minds, this and that. I changed my mind, you know, everyone changes their mind. But when it comes to criminal justice, we're not talking about, oh, I said this, I shouldn't have said this. We're talking about something that you did that put people behind bars that are still behind bars. Or if they're free, and a lot of them were ironically freed because of the Trump administration legislation. Some of the exact same people, particularly when people were there for crack cocaine, were freed earlier than they, you know, would have been. But they were in there so long because of Joe, and they're out because of Trump. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, and that policy you're referring to is the First Step Act, where thousands of people were released from jail, 90% of them being African American. This is perhaps one of the most intriguing years coming up, I think, that we're going to see. With the COVID vaccine clearly already in motion, people are already receiving the vaccine, and I'm not sure how you feel about the vaccine, but there's been some reporting of nurses taking it, and there's been some some responses that people didn't expect.
I'm getting the vaccine.
You're not getting the vaccine. I am positive.
I am.
Oh, you get it.
I have definitely put way worse things in my body. Like I'm just certain of it. You know, like at least this one has a chance of keeping me healthy. I've put, you know, I mean, I'm vaping during this conversation. Like, I know that's not good for me, and I'm doing it willingly. Okay. That's the other thing, man. Like if you get the vaccine, like, I don't know. But then again, like I said, I take huge risks with my health a lot. Before this call, I ate like a massive amount of Burger King. You know, in college, I drank a lot of jungle juice out of like mystery tubs. Who knows?
You have to explain what jungle juice is for people.
Oh, it's a giant tub of juice. And I think people would sometimes drive out of state to get Everclear, which is basically like lighter fluid. It's like almost 100% alcohol, and dump a bunch of that in with a bunch of sugar and like punch, and just you'd stick your cup in there and you'd drink out of it. And then after you got done drinking, you stick the same cup in there, and everyone would get trashed, and the next day you'd throw up.
Wow. That sounds like almost a death sentence to me.
Worst hang over my life. It was like Halloween. When I was like 20, I was dressed as a cat, okay? And I remember I woke up, I thought I was going to die. I had my smeared whiskers all over my face, you know, whatever. Did not feel good. And that was a jungle juice.
And I'd love
to say that was the last time I drank jungle juice, but I don't want to lie.
Yeah, I don't want to ask you what you did yesterday.
I'm not worried about what's in the vaccine. I'm not worried about what's in the vaccine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I'll be taking the vaccine unless there is something mandatory or in terms of flying or something. I have no interest in it. But I appreciate those who want to take it. I think they should if they want to. So speaking of Biden, in terms of clearly he's at least it looks like he's going to be taking office January 20th. I don't think there's anything that says at this point that it won't happen. Do you expect anything fresh or exciting to come out of this? I mean, he's been in office for 50 years, I would imagine.
But he's been in office almost 20% of the time that the United States has been a country. So I love when the same people who are like, oh, you know, like the system, like I'm fighting against the system. But then they like vote for Joe Biden. I'm like, he is the system.
Yeah, that's true.
Something I thought was interesting that came out last week is that his approval as being like pre-president, which I didn't know was
president
like a
elect.
Thing. Yeah, like no, it was like the now only. It wasn't like anything about what kind of president you think it's going to be like. It's like, how's he doing right now? And it was 60%, which I thought was really low considering he hasn't done anything. Right. All he's done is like read some speeches other people wrote, you know? So that would be like me waking up from a nap and people being like 40% of people hated the way he took that. I'm like, I wasn't there. It's the exact same thing. So I think that a lot of the coverage too of like the people he's picking for his cabinet, I'm getting pissed because at Libertarian, I'm like super anti-war, right? Yeah. And he's picking a lot of cogs in the war machine. So I'm pretty pissed about that. But then again, you look at the media and it's a lot of glowing coverage. Like, oh, it's so much experience. It's like, yeah, experience starting wars. Like right. You might as well have put a misfiring drone in that position. But maybe I just read too much. I don't know.
You know what? That's interesting. I did see that as well on social media. I'm not aware of there ever being a poll for president-elect, but it does speak to the media bias. The media bias in terms of pushing Joe Biden on a pedestal like they did during the election. I mean, there wasn't really any serious questions asked of him when the Hunter Biden allegations came up. There wasn't a really serious response to it, which I think really puts our country in jeopardy of having elected officials fully and truly covered. And I think that's going to be problematic. And we'll see a lot of that bias in 2021.
Absolutely.
100%. Now, speaking of 2020.
Well, it's awful. Well, just quickly, let me just say,
yes,
the First Amendment, the main thing of the First Amendment, the reason behind it was supposed to be an important check on government power to help keep us free. It wasn't just like, oh, you can say whatever you want. Like, yeah, that's part of it. But a huge part of it is you can criticize the government as much as you want without any retaliation from the government. And then even like you're seeing Joe Biden, I remember he gave his speech about his economic plan. And the first reporter asked this question, how are you able to remain so calm when Donald Trump is so mean to you? I'm like, what? It's like, this hurts everyone. Because if this is someone vetting to be in power over us, or you would just be vetting this person. And when they're in office, they're in power over you and have all this freedom to go hard on them. And you're going to do this kind of crap. So yeah, I'm very concerned as well.
Well, I mean, I think honestly, Kat, it was a fair question. How are your feelings doing with Donald Trump is so mean?
I don't care about my own feelings that much. Like,
right,
you can't.
I know. It's the guy was running for president. How dare you ask him about his feelings? Let's talk about substance and policy. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, with all this going on, do you think that Donald Trump would run for president again in 2024?
I think he will. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. He's not going anywhere. It's going to be funny, too, because remember everyone was like, him saying this or that, that's not presidential.
Right.
Like, they're not going to be able to use that anymore. I could absolutely see him doing that. It's wild because I remember watching his speech at, like, the convention, whatever. And he would talk for so long. I remember I was watching it and I was getting tired. And I am 32 years old. He's had a way busier week than I did. And he's just going and going. Like, he has so much energy in his 70s. I don't understand it. So it's not like he's going to quietly go away. Absolutely not. He's going to be out there. And you know who's going to love that more than anyone is probably, I bet, like CNN. Like, they're still going to be like, we're going to have a whole like new president. And they're still going to be like, do you see what Trump did?
Exactly.
Because what else are they going to do? They haven't had ratings like this. Because the man is good television. You can't deny that.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I've thought about that myself. Now I want to switch gears. But first, let's take a break. This is going to be a very interesting 2021 for sure. But let me ask you this question, because I know you're a libertarian. And you just mentioned you voted for the libertarian that ran for president. And in your view, how does a libertarian differ from a conservative? Because you have a really large base of conservatives that support you on social media and otherwise, and they love watching your appearances on Fox. How do you differ from just a regular old conservative?
Yeah, I mean, I do, because I'm so really socially liberal. So like, decriminalize drugs, decriminalize sex work. I am pro-choice. I don't think I personally could ever have an abortion. But I think that the government shouldn't make that decision for a woman. I'm super anti-war and I'm very pro-immigration. So that's how I differ. Part of it is when I do talk about my differences that I have from conservatives, and I'm very open about those things, I'm not disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that there are people who like to talk down to conservatives or be disrespectful about their points of view. And I think I'm fair. And I think that a lot of overall, I have more liberals being like in my real life, even being completely closed-minded, if I don't follow like the Democratic Party platform down the line, I'm a piece of racist, homophobic trash. And then conservatives, some of them will go after me a little bit, but they're a little more accepting as long as you're respectful.
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of different points of view.
That's true. That's very true. I've noticed that too. Yeah, absolutely correct. Now, you mentioned in terms of libertarian, you believe that all drugs should be decriminalized. Have you ever done any drugs? I mean, you talked about the jungle juice.
I mean, nicotine. I'm addicted to nicotine. I'm not like a, I'm not a big drugs gal. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's not because, like, for example, I don't smoke crack, not because crack is illegal, right? It's not like if it was decriminalized, I'd be like, okay, well, now it's the time I've been waiting for. No, it's because it's because I've seen that not work out well for people,
right?
You know, like, so I really think that when you're putting something in your own body, I don't think that should be something you should be able to be thrown behind bars for.
Yeah.
That's just never made any sense to me. So it's certainly not something I would choose for myself.
Yeah.
Just like based on the amount that how addicted I am to my nicotine vape, I don't think crack is the right choice for me.
I'm glad that we both agree on that. Crack is not the right choice for you, Kat.
No, it's really not. It's really not. I'm too impulsive.
You're too impulsive.
A drugs gal. Yeah. Too impulsive. I don't think I would have, I'm not good at moderation.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be able to, but most people, it turns out, aren't good at moderation in terms of, you know, crack, you know, that can go south. So.
Yeah. Sadly, but true.
So, yeah. Oh, devastating.
Yeah, very much so. And I know that personally from family members. Mm-hmm. So
I know you do from family. I do from close friends too.
Yeah.
So.
It's really sad. But, knowing that you're a person, you lived in California for a while at some point, and you had some really interesting stories. Would you mind telling people how your trajectory in California, Los Angeles specifically, how that went? And it's so interesting. But I used to go to the LA Bureau of Fox News Channel to do my appearances. Yeah. And I remember one day you were on TV during your time when you hosted the Fox News Specialist. Mm-hmm. And the makeup artist said, "I just can't believe Kat has a show now." And I was like, "Really? I didn't know you knew her. Did you? Is she just comes to LA?" And she was like, "No, she used to intern here." And I said, "What? Yep. Kat used to intern in the LA Bureau?" She said, "Yes, she used to ride a bike to work every day."
I didn't have a car. Yeah.
Ride a bike.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through your time in LA?
Yeah, I was also, that was, I had the internship, and I was also a Boston Market cashier at the Boston Market in West LA. I since closed down. I had gotten into Columbia Journalism School, and I was enrolled in everything, and I was going to do this internship and then come to New York for that. And then I was like, you know what? I don't have $80,000. I could take out an $80,000 loan for that. And you know what? I was like, I will never pay that back. I will never be able to afford to pay that back. So I decided to get another internship, which I got at KFI, and just try to learn this stuff for free and like make connections. And I was
in KFI radio
wait tables.
Is that a radio?
Yeah.
Radio. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was so broke, but I had a job as a traffic reporter. So for a while, I would wake up and do like the morning drive, like, so like 5 a.m. to like 9 a.m. traffic reporting. Then I go to my radio internship, and then I go do my closing shift at the diner. Lost the traffic job because I gave wrong directions. So like, totally fair. Like the fact that I lasted as long as I did is actually, I'm sorry to anyone who, But I eventually ran out. I lived in this claptrap apartment in Long Beach. It was so bad. Like I got fleas and scabies in the same week. It was like the itchy, like the cat had fleas, but they were biting me too, but I also had scabies. And like, I couldn't afford a bed. I slept on a yoga mat. It was, I remember I had friends come stay with me. And I was like, no, it's really bad. They thought I was being like humble. And they came in, they were like, "Where's your trash can?" I was like, "I don't have one. Like, I don't have $2. I was like, "I don't have $2. So I had like trash bags hanging from the wrap. So then, I think this is the story that I told. I ended up could not afford that apartment. So this is when I was waiting tables at California Pizza Kitchen. And I was like sort of hanging out with the bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And he like had a thing for me, but like I didn't really want to make it a relationship. But I also didn't have a home. So I moved in with him and his family they're from Colombia. And I live with them so that I would not be home. I mean, I guess I technically still don't have an address. I guess that's like technically homeless, but like I wasn't under a bridge. But my Spanish was never better. It was great in terms of that. But I had constantly so much drama. I had to be like, listen, blank, and I will not say his name. I live with you, but that doesn't mean we're exclusive.
Wait, you live with this guy? You were telling him that you were not exclusive with him?
Correct. I didn't want to be exclusive. I wanted to do my own thing, but I wanted a roof over my head. I was, so yeah, I was like, listen, we are, you know, like, I'm going to sleep in your bed, but I don't have one right now. And thank you.
I hope you're still good friends with this guy.
No, I'm not. We don't. I actually, he popped up on, as people you may know, on my Facebook not too long ago, and he's a year clean, which is good because I remember he's had a drug problem on and off. I think he was off while we were together. Well, we weren't officially together, but while I was living there, but I'm not sure of it. So.
Well, it sounds like you. When are you writing your book, Kat? Because you just have so many stories. Just very interesting.
I know. I really should.
You absolutely
should. I mean, it's not the typical experience. But again, you know, I was honest, though, Gianna. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't like, I love you and then cheating on him, you know? Wow. I was like, I need somewhere to live. We're cool, right?
Right. We're going to continue this conversation in a moment, but first, we need to take a quick break. I think you and I are both eyeballs in that way. Like, we both work for the network, and they're like, okay, there's literally no one like you two on the network or either comes onto the network. So that's interesting. So from this time in LA, and now you see what has happened during the COVID era with Gavin Newsom as the governor. What do you think of all the restrictions? I ran out of the state. I left the state 2 months into the shutdown because I just couldn't do it anymore. Now I'm in Miami. Yeah. What do you take of all the restrictions?
It's a lot of it's crap. And obviously he thinks it's crap, or he wouldn't be going out to dinners indoor, like himself for his, you know, advisor or whatever. And we have that in New York too, right? Like Cuomo, I hate Cuomo with a burning passion. And I don't have like that much emotional energy to like spend hating people, but with him, I can't help it. Because he closed indoor dining here, right? Even though the infection rate from indoor dining was 1.4%. So it's obvious to me, and should be obvious to anyone who's read even one thing about this, that he doesn't care about your livelihood, your mental health, anything else. Because even before this was announced, data was showing that dining out at restaurants was down 70% from what it was at the same time last year. They're already struggling. Many of other already closed or struggling to stay open. His main concern, and I am confident about this, is to look like he's doing something so that he can keep being lauded as a hero. And that's gross. And what's even grosser is that people are allowing it. Like every time I open up my phone, he's getting some new award, like an Emmy or whatnot. Like unless you're getting an award for being a narcissistic jackass, I don't understand how it happens. Yeah. And I think that's why people are getting really pissed off, because it's not that you're saying, okay, like, I want people to die. I'm going to kill your grandma. That's not it. If people are saying, how you're telling us to look at the science, how does the science of a 1.4 infection rate say you need to completely shut this down? And they're 70% from in-home gatherings. So you're forcing people to do the riskier thing. You were just trying to look like you're tough on COVID guy.
Yeah.
So you can parade yourself around on your little book about how you beat COVID, which, by the way, if you did, why are we doing this again?
Yeah. And our colleague Janice, she knows very well. Her parents-in-law, her in-laws died in a nursing home because of Andrew Cuomo's policies. And speaking of California with Gavin Newsom, I know you know these things really well because you were Robert Novak Journalism Fellow in 2012.
I was.
And you completed a project titled "As California Goes, So Goes the Nation: The Consequences of Following Garden State Policy." So you know this stuff very, very well, and it's really disturbing for so many that the businesses won't be able to open back up. So what happens to the economy in 2021? What happens for these businesses that have gone belly up and bankrupt?
Right, exactly. And that's why I get so pissed off with the just stay home. Like, take that just and like shove it up your butt, because you're telling people, just give up your livelihood. Just say goodbye to all of your hard work and all the things you've sacrificed. And even New York, the great thing about living in New York, and one of the great things about the LA area too, is like, there's so much culture and you can go to these restaurants, you can see these bands, and that's why you pay more. Well, especially in New York entirely. In LA, at least there's a beach, but in New York, that's it literally entirely. You have to go, the beaches are hours away. Entirely because of the restaurants and the culture and the events. If the only place that's able to stay open is like Burger King and Taco Bell, and I ate Burger King today, so I am not shaming. I'm not too good for it, okay? But how is it different from anywhere else in the country then? So you're not just killing off the restaurant industry, you're killing off the city. And the same goes for both LA and New York are both in the very same situation when it comes to this kind of thing. And I also, yes, COVID, very dangerous. You can be deadly for people, but also prolonged loneliness doesn't just, it absolutely has mental health effects, but also research after research shows it also has physical health effects. It can accelerate dementia. It can affect so many different things, raising your risk of all these different health issues up to and including early death. So when you add poverty onto that, the health implications of that, and addiction, of course, overdose deaths are up in a huge way. Alcoholism, drug addiction up in a huge way. These are real things too. Talking about that gets you labeled some kind of truther. It's like, no, this is, you want to talk about the science because you say you do. Let's talk about it.
That's true. That's very true. Now, you're not just a commentator and writer for Fox News. You're also a comedian. And I'm interested, how did you become a comedian? Stand-up comic, like, how did that happen?
I require a lot of attention. So I found there was a hobby where I could get on a stage and I would get it. That's part of it. When I really got into it was when I was in LA. And the other guy I lived with, he was my boyfriend, but
there's another guy.
the guy, Blake, you know, he's Jeans' dad. We're very good friends. Like, I'm friends with his current girlfriend. He's friends with Cam. We broke up when I was like 21. So it's, you know, we're over it. But anyway, the plan was I was going to live with him because the internship I had like paid for my housing, but then I didn't have money to pay for it after that. So I was going to live with him for 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of internship. Then we were going to break up and I was going to move to New York. It didn't work out because I decided not to go to New York. So I just didn't leave. We broke up. So then I had zero friends on this entire coast. And I had to, that's when I had to move into the shanty where I got all the, it was like infested with all the things. And I had running water only sometimes. I would go to open mics because I like always had kind of had an interest in it. So I would just go to open mics and I would make jokes about like all the horrible stuff that I was dealing with. And because I've always kind of used humor to get through hard things,
yeah.
Which is why I hate cancel culture so much, because I think that humor has a unique power of healing. And the last thing we should be doing is taking it away from the people who need it the most, like the people who are going through the toughest things. I will make jokes about my mom dying. I will make jokes. So when I was, you know, really, really like broke, and alone, I decided to get on stage and talk about it with punchlines. And that's how I really started doing it more.
And people thought you were joking.
Because I'd done it once in Detroit before then. Yeah, a lot of people thought I was joking.
Right, and you were very serious. Now, here's my final question. Here at Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell, we are the sworn enemy of PC culture. I think taking such stance is so important today because cancel culture has obviously caused many public figures to be afraid to speak out. How do we combat that, and what role does comedy play in that?
Well, it's up to us, really. It's really, really up to us. And the thing about being a comedian in general is there's really no way to know if a joke works or not, especially in stand-up, until you try it on stage, right? So the thing that, and I wrote a National Review article defending Dave Chappelle, and I've defended many comedians, but this one I kind of went more in depth and sort of explained, like, you will swing and miss. Like just as much as a baseball player will, right? Because like not everything's going to hit and you really don't know till you try. And if, as I mentioned, comedy does have this healing power to bring you out of dark times. You cannot be like making people afraid who could potentially do that to try to do that and fail. And I wrote another piece of National Review about like South Park. I remember my mom, she died of amyloidosis, but she had breast cancer when I was in college. And this episode making fun of breast cancer came out the week I found out, and I laughed at it and I felt so good to laugh at it. And it made what I was going through less scary. Because if you say, oh, this is too serious to talk about, it gives it this untouchable power that makes it even worse. And I think that's definitely how it's been in terms of my grief of my mom dying. Like I used to get really weirded out about it. Like people like say like something like, oh, what do your parents do? And like, I'll be like, well, my dad, and like, what about your mom? I'll be like, oh, I'll just be like, well, my mom's dead. And then I watch the air get sucked out of the room, but I just don't care. I'll say, when they say, I'm sorry, I said, it's okay. You didn't kill her, you know?
Yeah.
And like to make sure you live that way and that you also looking at the headlines too. When you look at headline, like this person said this, make sure you're seeing the whole clip, you know, like make sure. And then also look at your life and be grateful. If you have that much time and emotional energy to spend getting like so violently upset and traumatized by someone's joke, you are a very blessed person. So maybe just stop and say thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for spending this time with me. And I'm glad we were able to re-record this episode.
Only for you, Gianno.
I'm so excited that folks will get a chance to hear this. And certainly you've been a blessing and a good friend to me. So thank you so much for coming on Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. And I certainly appreciate your time. Cat tip, everyone.
Of course.
Thanks to Catherine Temp for a great interview. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review and rate us with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions for me, please email me at outloud@gingrich360.com and I'll try to answer them in our future episodes. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Parler at Gianno Caldwell. And if you're interested in learning more about my story, please pick up a copy of my best-selling book titled How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. Special thanks to our producer, Stephen Calabria, researcher Aaron Klingman, and executive producers Debbie Myers and speaker Newt Gingrich, all part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
Part of the Gingrich 360 Network.